This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Naked Professors podcast. My name's Ben Bidwell, and this month, with it being World Mental Health Month, we're focusing on one-to-one conversations from experts in their field who just bring valuable advice around how we can manage or help our mental health be better, how we can feel better within ourselves. Today I've got Caroline Britton, and Caroline is a coach whose message resonates deeply with me. I think we connected a year or two ago, and ever since I've followed her journey and been really keen to bring her message alive, because it, as you'll hear in this conversation, it resonates deeply with me. So on this conversation, we're aiming to take everyone on a journey of how to heal, to understand the basis of how we can do that, how we can sit in space, how we can start becoming a better version of ourselves, how we can start feeling better within ourselves. Caroline's an expert at taking people on this journey, so it's really beautiful for me to sit in this space and just listen and learn from her as to how she helps people heal. I think it's going to be a really beautiful conversation. I really hope you enjoy it. Without further ado, here's Caroline Britton. So Caroline, we've just had a little chat, and I've spoken to you before, and I know that you're a special human and with a special message. And we both know or feel that this conversation is just going to flow and it's going to go where it's meant to go. But predominantly, I want to have a conversation with you today about, it's Mental Health Awareness Week this week. And I want to talk to you about that, and specifically around healing, because this week we're going to see a whole lot of conversation, lots of people talking about mental health and da 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 da. But as we know, the healing process is not an easy one. So, and there's so many ways this conversation could go, but I would love just to start with a general question for you, and just how does the healing process begin? And I know it's individual to everyone, but where do we start? Where do you sit with this? What do we do?
So I think the first thing that I want to say that feels really important is that we can go on a healing process without feeling like inherently we're broken. And this is what I say to a lot of people. It's like, this is an exploration of self. Yeah, it's an opportunity for us to go into parts of us that need to be explored or want to be explored. And there's great value in that. But I'm seeing this repeating thing with clients and my audience where people think inherently they're broken and they need fixing. And there's almost that narrative of, when I'm fixed, then I'll be able to have that relationship. When I'm fixed, I'll be able to leave my corporate job. When I'm fixed, I'll be able to have more money or healthier relationship or healthier boundaries. And that's something that I really want to say right at the beginning here, is there is a part of you that knows that you are whole and perfect and divine as you are. So it's really important to separate that from the healing journey, which in essence is an exploration of self.
Yeah, really beautiful. There's different ways that I could go with that, but naturally what comes to me is this concept of a broken, or what is the problem if we do perceive ourselves as broken? Why do we not do that?
I think it becomes a never ending quest of trying to feel good enough. Yeah. It becomes an attachment to this story and this way of being that we're kind of indoctrinated with. I mean, you think about everything in society, like you should be slimmer, you should be more beautiful, you should be more masculine, you should be more feminine, you should be this, you should be that. It's like this constant thing that we have of not being enough. I feel like that fixing buys into that paradigm, and that's what I don't like about it. I don't like that thought of people feeling that inherently there's something wrong with them. And that's why we have to be really, really careful that this is an act of self-love, not correction. Yeah, that there's a difference there. There's a difference that looking at ourselves through the lens of compassion and love than it is that we're something that somehow isn't enough. And what often happens is when we're in that energy of trying to fix or prove we're enough, it becomes all about the external validation. Yes, someone else tells me if I'm fixed. Somebody else tells me I'm enough. My paycheck does, my audience size does, my Instagram following, whatever it might be, the way that I look, you know, that's what tells me enough. And it's not about that. What I'm on a mission to empower people to realize is it's not about looking outside. It's about going within. We are all women and men are inherently wise and have an access to such incredible potential and connection, but we're just not taught it. It's not something that we're given the tools to recognize. And when you do, when you can stop looking outside of you and go within, it's such a game changer.
Yeah. And that's it for me. You know, that's it. I think if we define ourselves as broken and we start looking, or we've got something to blame, or we've got a reason that does nothing more than keep us where we are. You know, if we're willing to sit into the space and acknowledge that the answers do sit within, then it's all within our power. It's all within, like, it's all there for us to, I mean, we don't need help with that, potentially, most probably. Everyone who's gone on that journey tends to have had help. But it does lie within us. And I guess the flip side to that, again, is that no one can do this for you. It is all in your control, which is great, but also hard, because in this world, we love it if someone just gives us a pill and we take that and then we're fixed. And actually, it doesn't work that way. This is hard work. It is difficult. It's not easy going within. You have to go to places that actually you've intentionally buried for a long time, because you don't want to go there because there is pain associated with it. It is difficult. But this is also where all that the healing exists too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we all do that. Like, I think we have an inability, a lot of us, myself included, sometimes just to be able to sit and be with ourselves. And I've done that before. You know, if something's coming up for me, I'll be like, I'll just see if I can get some inspiration from Instagram, or I might just see if I can get some inspiration from a book, or maybe I'll just call my best friend and ask her, or maybe I'll voice note my coach, or maybe I'll book in a healing session. Like, even for me, one of my first reactions is, well, how can I look outside of me for the answers? But I stop myself and say, but it's within you. Like, you need to connect and go within, because that's where you're going to find the truest essence of yourself and your answers. And we all default to it, don't we? But sitting, I think making a conscious practice of sitting and being with yourself, and it will be uncomfortable at first, but it's so powerful, because, I mean, we've all been there, haven't we? When we've been on like an amazing beach and we've been chilling out, we've just been in it and we've been present and we're being. And then all of a sudden, like, these waves of inspiration or insight, they come through you. Yeah. And this is the practice that we want to encourage, is like, let's remember the innate wisdom and connection we have within us and try and resist that tendency and that habit to pick something up to tell you.
Yes, yeah, really beautiful. Which, of course, is so foreign for us, right, in this world, you know. And I read something this morning, you know, about busyness, being busy. And it's just, you know, I still get it to this day, and I can't help but need to respond to it when someone says, how are you? And I go, yeah, I'm pretty busy at the moment. And they go, oh, great. And I'm like, no, I find it quite overwhelming. I just want to be. And yet the world tells us to be busy constantly. And if we're not feeling great, then go and consume, go and buy something, go and take yourself away from actually what it is. And all of this is so foreign in that respect. But I want to ask, you know, if we're sitting in the space and we're saying, right, okay, we're not broken and the answers lie within us and we need some peace and we need to stop and we need to go within. How would you say, I'm really nice, it's kind of like going a step by step of this journey, which I've never done before. I'm really interested to see where it all goes. So we're willing to stop. We're going to go, okay, the answers are within me. I'm going to go within and I'm going to have some peace and I'm going to create some time. Now I'm sitting here and I'm still and there's nothing going on. I'm just bored. What's going on?
I love that question. Yes, it's interesting how boredom presents itself, because we have an insatiable need to be distracted from it. This is where we have to become the observer. Yeah, this is the beginning part. We start observing the irritability. I remember this is coming through, so let's share it. I remember when I worked for a management consultancy, really frenetic, really burnt out, really disconnected from my soul and from myself. And I remember going to a yin yoga class and just finding it excruciating. Well, this isn't getting me thinner or stronger or fitter. And literally just being like, what a waste of time. And I mean, so telling in itself, I was so heavily reliant on the masculine energies of doing and pushing and moving things forwards that I was so uncomfortable with that. So let's observe that. Okay. Let's observe the fact that there's part of you that's uncomfortable with being. Why? Why are you uncomfortable with being? Where are you refusing to be with certain emotions and why? And ultimately, where has the doing served you? Because it always does. You know, that's why we do it. It served me to be in the doing paradigm because I didn't have to be really real with myself about how unhappy I was in my corporate job. It served me because it was like a band-aid over a great big wound of never feeling enough and constantly overproving and constantly pushing myself and berating myself and all the criticism. And the busier I was and the more I was doing, the more I was distracting. I didn't have to look at it. So this boredom is, let's call it, the ego's last line of defense, you know, where it's like, well, this is boring. So, okay, why am I inherently uncomfortable with stopping and being with what's trying to come through? And if I was to allow myself to be with what's coming through, what am I being asked to feel and look at? What is trying to move through me? And what I found is when I went through this process at the beginning of my healing journey, it was that I was angry. Like there was this sort of anger with everything. I was so fed up with everything. It was sort of moving through me. It's really uncomfortable because this is the thing about emotions. It's about being able to let them move through you, but we stop them as soon as we get anywhere near it. So I'm sure you're going to work up in levels, but that's the next one, you know? So first of all, we're saying, well, why am I so uncomfortable? Why am I attached to the doing paradigm? Why can't I just be? And where am I allowing myself? When am I not allowing myself to just be? And then we take it up a level and we say, but what's trying to be felt? What's trying to come through? And this is where we come out of our heads and into our body, because our body is incredible at showing us exactly what's going on, isn't it? The pulls and the twinges and the feelings and the stomach and the emotions and the lurching, you can literally feel it in our physical body. So that's another thing to ask yourself. If I'm to come out of my head and to come into my body, what am I feeling? What's coming up for me in this moment? And just to start with, don't try and fix, analyze, resolve. I don't want any of that. I just want you to observe, because when you observe, it has great power. You don't make it mean anything about you, but it just becomes an awareness and we build from there.
Yeah, and I think this is where, if we're going to go on this journey, we have to really have a deep honesty with ourselves, you know, at this point, right? Because perhaps what we do feel is exactly what we don't want to admit to feeling, you know, especially in this world that says it's all about being happy and being great all the time and putting on that mask of, you know, success and, you know, everything that comes with that. Because that gives us an element of comfort and feeling safe that everyone thinks that everything's great, right? Even if I know it's not, at least I can hide behind that mask. But actually now, can we really enter this phase of being deeply honest with ourselves and recognize actually that if we're not going to connect with this feeling, it's always going to be there underneath everything else. And perhaps that's when we actually, you know, we use the drugs or the alcohol or whatever, because that does actually, in those moments, God, I've forgotten that I felt that stuff. I've forgotten that I was attached to that feeling of emptiness or just disconnection or just loneliness or whatever. I didn't feel that when I was in that space. But now, if we are being deeply honest, actually, it's okay. There is something here that I don't really want to live with for the rest of my life. I don't want to have to keep burying. I don't want to have to keep running from. And feel into that honesty, because if we don't feel it, we can't heal it, right?
Exactly. You need to feel it. And what I think is fascinating for us, particularly in Western cultures, is that somehow it's not appropriate to be in the dark, but we're cyclical beings. Look at the seasons. It's look at the moon, look at everything. We're supposed to have periods of dark introspection, we have periods when we go in the dark and periods when we go in light. Both have great value. Not, one's not better than the other. And it's interesting, and I know you've got male and female listeners, but I think this is really important, even to draw a parallel with the menstruation cycle for a woman, the cyclical process that we go through. So after we have our period, we go through the first week, which is the kind of pre-ovulation, and you tend to be a creative hub of ideas, full of energy, quite in the kind of let's go, 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 go. And then you come into the ovulation, you're very eloquent and sparkly and attractive, and all these things are coming up. You're really in what we call kind of the light spring, summer. Then as you come into pre-menstruation time, you tend to go more into what I call it the Kali Ma phase, but into, you know, boundaries, not taking any shit, like really being very clear on, it's my husband's favorite time, not, but you know, very clear on what you will or won't take, really in a much darker place, reflective boundaries. And then when you have your bleed, you literally withdraw into the dark because you're very psychically aware and you're very much within your body and retreating and processing what needs to be shed physically and emotionally and energetically. There is great beauty in that. And then you begin the cycle again, a bit like the trees, a bit like them in everything together. But somehow we've been told it's not appropriate to be in those periods of introspection and darkness. It's absolutely pivotal and it has as much beauty as the light. And that's the thing. It's, we're not told this. But that shedding process and that that journey that we go on is magical. So let's own that. And I know it's not always pleasant when we're in those darker places and we're feeling what needs to be felt, exactly as you said, so it can be healed and released. But it has beauty. It really does. And if we can start having that kind of relationship with those parts of us and loving the shadow self and loving those introspective times, we're going to be more prepared to show up when we're experiencing it.
Oh, that's really beautiful. And I'd never known that really about the cycles of women or the cycles that women go through. I which is so fascinating, but also quite alarming that I didn't know that, you know. It's craziness. Yeah. That should be understood. That should be something that we all, I mean, understanding yourself is so important as we're in the midst of talking about right now. And for that to be the case and for me to not have an understanding, you know, I find it, I don't know, but it's disappointing, I guess. And I think this is a big part of the process as well, in that for me, it's not so much that the problem isn't with the challenging emotion, if you like, as such, it's our perception of the emotion. So like you say, it's like that there's beauty in the darkness and there's beauty in the struggle, there's beauty in the challenge, except that we perceive it to be wrong, to be bad, to be negative.
Exactly. We make it mean something about us. I feel angry is different from I am angry. Yeah, we make it mean something. I feel despondent and withdrawn. I am. It's different. It's an emotion. It's a feeling. This is where we sort of, I think this is why we fear it so much. We make it mean something about us, and it's not. It's just that there's a spectrum of emotions, some are lower vibration and some are higher vibration. And we apply them through a lens that make them mean something to us. And actually, it's a feeling. It's just that it comes and it goes. And that's what it is. It's just part of that fluidity of being human. And I think that I see so many clients who come to me and say, I am angry, I am lost. Now you feel lost and you feel angry, and let's explore that and let's express it and let's experience it and let's observe it and let's love it and not judge it, and then let's release it. And that just shifts everything for people when they start making it mean something about them.
Totally. And I'm huge on that. You know, knowing that our emotions don't define us and being willing to surrender into the not good or bad, but the challenging emotions or the beautiful emotions, like the ones that help us grow or the ones that allow us to be in flow, whatever, that there's beauty in all of them and they don't define us. They are just what we're experiencing in that moment. And one of the most fascinating things that I was ever taught actually is that an emotion is a chemical reaction of about 90 seconds. You know, and that's it. But as human beings, of course, we're very good at keeping emotions installed or keeping them flowing because we think and the thoughts keep the emotion alive. But in reality, if we could allow ourselves, I mean, of course, there's things like grief where we're not going to say we're missing someone for or there's sadness for 90 seconds and then actually now it's gone. And because, of course, that person stays in our thoughts. Of course, we're going to hold on to the relationship that we have in some capacity. But in many other ways, in let's say smaller emotions or ones that aren't so thought-provoking, if you like, we can allow ourselves to feel them and express them, then they will pass. They will pass. Like you say.
Yeah, and the expression, isn't it? And there's a brilliant book, and you may have read it, called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, and he talks brilliantly about this. But I think it's a really interesting concept for our children. I've got two children, a 7 and a 9-year-old, and we were in the midst of lockdown. It's tough, you know, particularly on my 9-year-old. And she felt angry. And rather than trying to, like, fix it or say, well, you know, what can we do to distract from that? I said, well, yeah, okay, look, well, what should we do with that anger? Let's move it. Let's get a pillow and let's hit the pillow on the bed and say it's not fair and until we're done. And it shifts. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, let's allow it to move through us rather than saying, well, that needs to be fixed or that's not appropriate. It's like, well, I feel angry. So how am I going to allow that to literally move through me? And somebody taught me something brilliant, and I love this concept. I use it all the time, about how often we recycle the same thoughts and the same, and really think about that for your listeners. It's like, how often are you recycling the same stories, energy, thoughts, emotions? And when I looked at that, I'd sort of get on that treadmill with a different energy. It's like, well, this is, I'm not going to recycle this. I'm going to allow it literally to move through me and go. And you create space for other things to come, and it's quite incredible. So I really hope people start viewing it differently. It's like, well, this is an opportunity for it to be expressed and move through me. And what does that emotion need? Let's ask that question. What does it need? Okay, anger needs this. It needs me to physically move my body and run. Okay, what does feeling lost or rejected feel? I feel like I need to hold my body and kiss my shoulder and rock myself. That's what I feel I need. I feel like people are taking me for granted when I need to sit down and write all the reasons that I'm grateful for myself. You know, we can do these things, but ask yourself what that emotion needs from you in order to be able to be fully validated. This is always an analogy that I often think about. It's like a friend coming to you and saying that they're struggling. And they're starting to share like their vulnerabilities, and you just going, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, or, you know, just going on like this and just shutting it down all of the time. And imagine how you would feel if your friend did that to you. Imagine you'd feel upset, you might feel angry, you might completely withdraw, you'd feel all of despondent, all of these things. But we do that to ourselves. It's no different. When something's trying to move through me and be heard, yeah, I won't create space and love and compassion for it. It's like, get down. It's not appropriate. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. It's the same thing. So think about it like that, like you're having a relationship with this part of you. So make time for it and space and compassion and love. And that will really help the healing journey.
And it's that word compassion that I really is coming up a lot for me at the moment, in the last couple of months, particularly. In fact, the last few months, I just feel compassion is just the starting point of healing in so many ways. And that's compassion for ourselves, compassion for others. Like you said, compassion for where the emotion came from, compassion for the story of the emotion, of what's occurring. Because when we have compassion, we're doing the opposite of that shut up, shut up, shut up and burying, aren't we? We're saying, okay, let's sit in the space. Let's allow for this. Let's not judge it. For me, like, there's such a indirectly correlated, compassion and judgment. You know, we're not making the emotion bad or saying da da da. We're just saying, hey, this is okay. I can feel what I'm feeling. Let's allow it. It's come for a reason. I'm angry for a reason. There's a lockdown going on. What I'm feeling is natural. Whatever the story is around this. So but it's there. So rather than just going, no, but I'm not going to be angry. It's bad to be angry. I'm not going to force it. Or like, no, I'm not admitting to it. Or whatever it is, it's bad to be angry. Let's allow ourselves to express it, to have compassion that it is a challenging time, as we just discussed actually briefly before in this podcast, where it has been a challenging time for many people in the last few months, even the last year. We have compassion for that journey, for that story, for how we felt, and to be okay with it. Now we're allowing the emotion. and it's okay. And now in allowing it, we can feel it, we can express it, we can allow it to pass, right?
Yeah, because I think we do that thing, don't we? So many of us are like, who am I to complain or feel like this? I'm so lucky. I've got a roof over my head. I've got food on my table. Like, I've got people that I can call. We're often negotiating with that part of us. And we can be grateful for all we have and know how well off we are, but we can still make time for that. I think that's really important. Is I see that so often people just won't let themselves go there because they think that it means that they're ungrateful or that they're overly indulging. It's not. It's just an expression of self. And that's the thing. It's really important because imagine how different the world would be. Imagine how different the world would be if everybody listened to that inner child that wanted to have a tantrum and let themselves feel things and embrace the dark and the light in themselves and others. And the way that we treat ourselves ripples out to the way that we treat the world. You know, we could change the whole face of humanity if every single one of us took personal responsibility for doing that for ourselves. And it seems so small, you know, but it's not. It really isn't. Because if everybody did it, just imagine what the world would be like.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you like this podcast, then why not check out one of our other amazing Create podcasts? If you just want a good laugh, then check out The Weekly Roast.
Listen, bitch.
Oh,
listen,
make an entrance.
I'm a week off sugar.
Bill is in the house.
I will fly to the UK and I will cut you both.
For the more cultured ones among you, join Laura Wright for Music in My Life.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm so glad no one can see me right now because I was doing some weird dance moves.
You had nothing then, yeah.
Prefer a deep chat? Connie's got you covered on How Are You, the Wellbeing Podcast.
So I just became a lot more productive and happier. Mm. And for me, like, that's just worth it.
The Weekly Roast, Music in My Life, and How Are You? Just three more podcasts to feast your ears on. Find them wherever you found this podcast.
And so how do we start to have that conversation? We've said about this inner child, and the inner child is the part of us that in fact, can I ask you to describe, because you'll do a much better job than me. And I was going to say it's the part of us that stores emotion from our childhood, but in a way that is governing us. We're not having any relationship with it. It's just telling us to behave in a certain way. And so often, if we're not in communication with that part of us, then we're just ruled by it. It's like taking ownership. If we can start to communicate and have compassion and have softness and start to build a relationship, then we start to change things. But you tell me about your experience with the inner child, because I think
that's brilliantly well explained. I think it's the part of us that, you know, in our formative younger years, we really start programming our subconscious for the way that we view the world and ourselves. Yeah. And the thing about us is that we have our conscious brain, but that's only responsible for, I think it's about 4 or 5% of what we attract and how we show up. We've got this kind of motherboard, as I call it, that we don't even really know what's going on in there, that's playing out stories and beliefs and patterns. It's responsible for 95%, I think that's about right, the stat, of what's going on for us. That's so incredible. So I always give this example, you know, something as simple as, say, somebody wants handing you a check for £1 million. Would your conscious brain want it? Yeah, absolutely. But there might be something going on in your subconscious, which is, it's not safe for me to have money. People won't love me as much. I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. Or anything that you've picked up, and then you go and spend it all. And this is why we see that people with lots of money lose it very quickly, particularly lottery winners and so on, because it's this subconscious sort of governing everything. And so I think that we need to be really aware that there's a part within us that is being governed by old stories and beliefs about not being lovable or worthy or attractive or whatever it might be that's going on for you. It's sort of stored in there. And that plays out. So everything that we're seeing is through a lens. Everything that we perceive is based on a belief system. So if I believe inherently that money is bad or that I'm always broke, then that's what I see. I don't notice the pound coin on the floor. I don't notice the inspired idea that comes in. I don't notice the opportunities to build wealth. All I can see is lack. Yeah. So that's what I get. And it's the same with anything, not believing that you're worthy or deserving. You seek out things. You have a conversation with somebody and you remember something that reaffirms that story. Yeah. So this is what this inner child work does. It's an opportunity for us to go to that part of the that governs those stories and those beliefs and change it to I'm lovable and I'm worthy and I'm deserving. But before we can do that, it's an opportunity to bring that, like, that inner child forwards to you and ask him or her, what do you need to feel safe? Tell them they're loved. Tell them they're deserving. Dependent on who I'm with, I do a lot of inner child work if I feel the call to with people. But often it's a case of bringing that child forwards and loving them and telling them they're enough and telling them safe and seeing them in a visualization and looking, you know, that little boy or that little girl in the eye and saying, you are enough and you are loved and I've got this and you don't need to run the show and you don't need to try and control and protect anything and I've got this, and taking that energy with you and really starting to recognize, oh, there's that kind of inner child kicking off again, or that inner child that's worried. And actually, I can witness that and notice the way that part of me wants to behave, like sabotage or whatever it wants to do. But actually, there's a very aware part of me. And you know, Michael Singer talks about this, that part of us that can observe that obsessive mind chatter, that can say, well, actually, this is where the magic comes in. I get to choose. Yeah, I get to choose whether I'm going to operate from that inner child or I'm going to operate from another level. If somebody has an awareness of that part of me, but chooses differently.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Yeah. And I guess just to be clear for anyone, because I know from my own experience, it took me a long time to understand inner child. I was like, what is this inner child? In fact, I did something called the Hoffman process, which have you done the Hoffman process? No.
No, but I've heard.
Okay. For some reason, I just had a feeling that you'd done it. But yeah, and I remember just, you know, keep hearing all this inner child and stuff. And, you know, we don't need to kind of get caught up in what it's called, or it's just, for me, it's rebuilding a relationship with a part of us that has been through or has stored memories that are focused around trying to keep us safe. But we are safe. We are safe so often. And of course, there are threats to our lives in some capacities, but so often these stories that we've told ourselves are way more, not so dramatic, but are more safety conscious than they need to be. So, I mean, going into, to for example, my stories and as a child were that I didn't feel seen and heard as the youngest. And that was, according to my inner child, deeply scary and unsafe because I didn't feel accepted. Now, of course, I was accepted, but I, you know, created this story, and that story stayed with me for a long time. You know, all the time, I wasn't I wasn't feeling, so I was never healing it. I didn't understand. I didn't bring any awareness to this. I had no understanding of it. But all the time, that was running through my mind, and in the self-talk in my head all the time was, Ben, you're not worthy. You're not of value because of what my inner child experienced, the stories that it had created. And all the time that rhetoric is going on in our heads, repeating, I'm becoming that. We're becoming that story. And so now, by changing the conversation, by allowing ourselves to say, hey, actually, this is just a story that you created when you were a child without much emotional intelligence. You were just seeing what you were seeing and experiencing as a child that was desperate to feel safe and loved. That's all. Actually, we can change the story and recognize that for me, I am worthy. I am of value. And I'm not the story that I made up as a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, whatever it was, child. And now that story and changing it, now I'm changing the way that I talk to myself. I start to create different stories in my head and I start to become something different. And now, like, I feel like we're getting into some healing, right? Times are starting to change for us at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. But I guess it's so cemented in this healing process is our thoughts, you know, how we speak to ourselves. But of course, you know, we are deeply complex human beings, right? And we're not in charge of what we think. And there's a whole system that's completely below our conscious understanding that's operating, that's leading us to think in the ways that we do. And then those thoughts are impacting how we show up. And if we think, I remember one of the first ever quotes that I heard as a, when I was working with a coach, she said, whether you think you can or you can't, you're usually right. I think she said, you're always right, but I changed it to you're usually, I don't know why. So yeah, how we're talking to ourselves is the future of what we're going to create.
Yeah.
If we don't know what's creating the stories as to why we talk to ourselves, then it's quite hard to change it. So all of this process, everything you just said, like getting to know ourselves, learning, understanding what our inner child was seeking and understanding why it was seeking that, changing the story, now we're going to start talking to ourselves in different ways. And I don't know, do you do a lot of work on, I mean, I know you will, but around the self-talk and changing this conversation, how do you change the conversation with the inner child? How do you change that story? What's the work around that?
I mean, I do a lot of journaling and a lot of exploration that way, but I become really aware of what's coming up for me. Like, what are the stories that seem to be surfacing? What needs to be looked at? What needs to be seen? And I kind of do a couple of things. The first thing I say to myself is, well, is that ultimately mine? I love that question. Is that my belief? Is that my story? And then you're like, that's my mother. Or that's like that teacher, or that's ancestral, or that's just something that I've picked up from society. Or, you know, this is the fascinating thing. Is it actually your thought? Is a really good question. And then what I like to do is always ask myself, well, how could I look at this differently? How could I view the situation differently? How could I see myself differently? And this is where the power of choice comes in. This is the amazing thing that we forget. We have the ability to choose. So, and I think this is important. This isn't about the absence of these negative thoughts. It's about recognizing that as a human being, we go through this process. It quite literally moves through our energy bodies, that we have the negative talk, and then we kind of come into the positive expansive. But what happens is I notice people kind of drop between the two. So they'll have a negative thought and they'll pull themselves into something positive, and I'm going to take action on that, and they'll come down to the negative again. What you want to be thinking about is you have the negative layer and the positive, and then you're going to come above that and say, okay, there's two stories going on here. There's two beliefs. There's a negative one that doesn't serve me, and there's a positive one. What am I going to actively choose? That's the bit. What am I going to actively choose? Because I recognize there's these two paradigms that I can choose to play in at all times, because they're always going to be available. Yeah, they always are. There's so many different ways of living and being that are available to you, but what are you going to choose? And then you choose something that ultimately serves you and takes you in the direction that you want to go in. And if you commit to that every day, it's like turning a ship really, really slowly, yeah? Just gradually, 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 you look at yourself. And I look at myself now, and from 4 or 5 years ago in the corporate world, my belief system and my stories and my views of myself are entirely different. I'm not sure I sat there 5 years ago and said, this needs to be fixed and then it's done with. I think what I did is, is I went through this process and continued to every day and gradually just kept choosing things that serve me. And then all of a sudden, your subconscious just gets it. I mean, it doesn't have a filter. It will believe what you tell it. It will believe what you repeat. The power of your words are everything. It's listening. You can hear. I mean, you probably see this well. I think it's fascinating with the work we do. I mean, I overhear people sometimes and think, no, like you're speaking into existence the very thing that you don't want. You're reaffirming those things about yourself. And we've got all these tools at our disposal that we don't use because we don't realize the power. And we have great power with our attention, with our choice, with our words, with our focus, all of it. So let's consciously use that.
So beautiful, Caroline. And if you don't mind, I'll just share an example that I go through all the time. Whenever I'm doing a talk, and I share this during my talks, and I say, whenever I'm on my way to a talk, I have two voices. I have one that will definitely say, Ben, you're not good enough. Like, you're going to get found out. You're blagging this. Like, don't do these talks anymore. Like, this could go really wrong. You know, what are you doing? And then there's another voice that's deeper within me. It's a deeper one that's going, that just kind of knows. I would say it's a knowing. It's this connection to just saying, but this is your purpose. This is your opportunity to go and express yourself. What an amazing thing. What a wonderful opportunity you've got right now to go and stand in front of people who are going to hear you, to share this message that you've learned and you're embodying. What an opportunity, what a purposeful thing. And I have a choice every time. I really have a choice. Which one am I hearing? And if I hear the one that says, you're not good enough, Ben, you're blagging this, I will turn up petrified. Oh my goodness, I'm about to get found out. This is awful and I'll be a wreck. You know, I will embody that. People you can feel that I've been thinking that. If I turn up seeing the opportunity, the purpose, knowing that this is just a beautiful thing for me to have this chance to do, and I stand around and look at the audience and be present and be there, it's like, wow, I'm here. Thank you for having me. And I'm going to share something really meaningful with you today because it matters to me. And that's my flow. That's the energy that I'm now showing up with. For me, that's such a clear example of every day. Like that's a big example, but every day we face those. What choice are we making? And I know it's not easy. It's not, you know, and that the voice that says you're not good enough tends to be the louder voice for the majority of people. And like you say, our body does adjust. And if we keep hearing the other voice, for me, it's like a muscle. You keep using it. If I keep tapping into the one that the voice that says, this is your purpose, what an opportunity, effectively for me is choosing love. If I keep using that love muscle for me is getting stronger and stronger to the extent that it can become your default. So the voice in your head that says you're not good enough is now, doesn't really need to be there. It's just it's still there. It still chats away, but it's like, oh, whatever, there's that nonsense again, because we're not dependent on it. We're not used to tuning into it now. Our bodies realize that we don't have to listen to it and it's not necessarily like needed. So we're not making it so important anymore. And now, we're getting into the law of attraction and everything's changing because we're turning up with a different energy. And with that different energy, new things happen and everything so much flows from there. So now I feel this is beautiful because we're, you know, hopefully people can kind of feel the healing journey from this point.
And do you know what I would say as well is that I think there's, you know, there's the ego and the soul. And the ego ultimately there is to try, it's trying to serve us, it's trying to keep us safe. But what has helped me and helped many clients is to become really aware of what that ego voice sounds like. So I've actually made mine into a bit of a person. So mine's called Linda and she's highly annoying and she's really not very relaxing to be around. And she's like, oh, having a holiday, that'll be the demise of your business, or doing this and it's all going to go wrong. And are you sure that's enough? You know, and she's constantly on. She feels like somebody, you know, when you're trying to have a cup of tea with somebody and they're sweeping up under your feet, she never chills out. So I recognize Linda. That's the ego. Like, I know what she's like. I know what she's like about to-do lists and about pushing and never switching off and always proving your worth and don't get too relaxed. And I know that voice. So I've got a degree of separation because I've almost got a sense of humor about it. And that's the thing, is those thoughts, those lower vibrational thoughts about not being enough are coming from your ego. They do not come from your soul. They just don't. How do you know if it's not your truth, it feels bad? Simple as that. It's not your truth because it feels bad. You come into your body when you think about doing a talk, not being enough, it going wrong. You feel yourself constrict. It doesn't feel good. So you say, well, that's an untruth. My body is telling me an untruth. Then you come over here and you say, well, what does it feel like when I'm connected to my soul? It's about service, and it's about fulfilling my destiny, and it's about impact, and it's about love, and it's about doing my best, and it's about connection. That feels good, and that's my truth. And that's what we want people to recognize, is like, what is an untruth? What's being fed by whatever persona you have for your ego, and what's coming from soul and feels good? And then I'm really, really, really getting there now, but almost to the extent of, if it feels bad, I immediately say it's got to be an untruth. Yeah, it has to be. Like, it can't be. That's just, it has to be ego-led. It's just an untruth. So I'm not, my mum was laughing about this. I said, I'm not energetically available for it. So my mum, we're planning something for my dad's 80th, and my mum said, what if it gets cancelled? I said, well, I'm not energetically available for that because it doesn't feel good. And she was like, oh, I like that. I'm going to use it. But there's something about that, isn't there? It's about, well, that's just not true. So it's there, and I can pick it if I want and play with it and bring it into me. But actually, it's not true. So I'm going to come over here to this place. I know we're on a podcast. You can't see me moving my hands as usual, but you know what I'm saying. It's like, let's look at this, but what it is. Is it a truth or an untruth? And you know purely by whether it feels good or it feels bad.
Mm, I love that, Caroline. Yeah. This is why I'm so happy we're having this conversation, because I think that this whole, everything you're saying is so true for my journey, for my healing process, for how I show up as a coach. And it's when we have that understanding of what is our ego, we don't have to empower it anymore. We can just, you know, whether you call it Linda or you call it whatever you want to call it. I've always, if I'm totally honest, and this is independent to everyone, I've just kept mine as my ego. And I just keep it, I call it my, it's just my ego. And my ego flares up. And I'd love to ask you in a second about why our ego flares up sometimes more than others, and to get into that, because I think that's important too. But for me, ultimately, I give myself the ability to make a choice, because I understand what is my ego and what is my heart or my soul, as you say. So that for me is my truth. And so I try and distinguish between what, am I feeling something because it's my truth, because it's my purpose, because it comes from the love of the self-expression of the truth of who I am? Or am I feeling something because I've told myself some stupid story from my ego that's trying to keep me safe? And if I can distinguish between those two, then I'm giving myself the choice to make the decision that serves me best, like you said. Now, sometimes I will make a choice that I know is my ego, because we're not all perfect and we make mistakes. And it's sometimes our ego is compelling. There's an element of satisfaction in just caving in and giving into it. And nobody is perfect. And we all do make mistakes, and we've all got an ego. And that journey never ends. And the ego is going to keep showing up, even though we're aware of it, even though that we're quietening it bit by bit. It's still there. But it's just, at least we have the choice and the awareness. And at least from that place, it's more on us. We're in control of our life a little bit more. We make a bad decision. Well, you know, do you know what? I made that bad decision, and I'll live with it. And on we go. Next time, I'll remember it's really not a good choice.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, we're not looking for the absence of the negative voice. I'm not looking for Linda to be fully removed, because she's, you know, she has value in my life. But actually, it's like saying, I hear you and I recognize you, but we're not choosing this. And Elizabeth Gilbert talks about this. I can't remember what the book's, I think it's called like Creative Magic or Big Magic or something. But she talks about who you're going to allow in the driving seat of your car. So yes, okay, ego can go in the passenger or fear or whatever you want to call it, but who's driving? That's a really good question to ask yourself, is what's driving this? What's driving this decision? And I know you touched on this about why our ego flares up more times than other. I think it's relative often to how much we're expanding into soul. I sort of got to the point that when my ego really comes out with her nails, I think, oh, I must kind of be onto something here. And, oh, it's terrifying and all these things are coming up, but I've got to be onto something here. And I often do an exercise here where I call fear towards me. And it's a bit like, okay, give me your best shot. And, you know, and then you're like, okay, what else have you got? And what else have you got? And then they, you know, start pulling out things and it's like, ah, and it hurts. And you're like, anything else? And, oh, another one. And then eventually it runs out of steam. But you've allowed that expression of it. You've allowed fear and ego to come up and have it say, and it dilutes its power. Then you let soul step in. What do you want to say? What do you want to say in this moment? It's really clever exercise because it's the same thing as the emotions. It's like, let's not ignore it and try and pretend it's not there. Let's have a conversation with these parts of it. Let's welcome it. And it loses its steam. So I think when we're finding huge ego flares, that's the opportunity to say, what do you want to say? And give me your best shot. And it brings its best friend fear in. So fear comes and has a go, you know, and it pulls on old stories. And remember that person said things, and it really pulls out all its best stuff. But if you can sit there and just say, okay, well, what else have you got? Eventually it just dissipates the power. And yeah, I've definitely got to the stage now. I think if my ego is really, really coming up, then I kind of got to be onto something. I think
so interesting. Yeah, it definitely shows you all your wounds, doesn't it? For me, I mean, for me, I notice at a really simple level, if I'm sleep deprived, if I'm really tired, my ego is just that bit louder, and it's easier just to choose the easy path. I don't have the energy to choose, because often choosing our heart or soul is the harder path. That doesn't necessarily lead to instant gratification. It's doing the talk when it's easier not to do the talk, you know, in that example. So sometimes if I'm low energetically, it's easier just to go, do you know what, today I'm just going to do the easy thing. And I know it doesn't serve me, but I just don't have the energy to fight it today. So I noticed that, which is why it's so important. I mean, there are so many different facets to this conversation, but we protect our energy. You know, we look after ourselves. We look after our health, because can we energize ourselves to make healthy decisions? And then the other part for me that I really notice is that, you know, when my childhood wounds flare up, when I don't feel seen and heard, that's when the ego really comes in heavy, and it's like, you need to hear me, you need to see me. Yeah. And I'm particularly kind of sensitive. And that's where, and we all have kind of some kind of stories around that. And people will be like, whoa, it's okay. I just, you know, I missed your call. Or I just said that, you know, I call you and I'm sorry, I missed it. I'll bring you tomorrow. And it's like, no, but I needed to be seen in that moment, and you're not respecting me. Because as a child, that was what my experience was. So it's just that fresh wounding. It's just opening it up again. So I noticed those kind of things for me too.
And do you know what I would say there? You know, I can never help myself with a bit of like coming with a bit of coaching.
Thank you.
But I would say what we often feel that we need from other people is like, well, have I given myself that? So, you know, if it's like, but you didn't see me, you didn't recognize me, like we stop and say, but am I seeing myself at the moment? Am I recognizing myself? And I remember this when I was in the corporate world, two very small children, like a 1 and a 3-year-old, really struggling. And I remember shouting at Matt saying, everyone takes me for granted. No one listens to me, you know. And now I look back, I'm like, well, that's exactly what I was doing to myself. I wasn't listening to myself. I was completely taking myself for granted. Yeah. And it's fascinating when we do that in those moments, we say, well, where am I taking myself for granted? Where am I doing this to myself? Where am I not seeing and hearing myself? And I would encourage anyone who's listening, for things, we call them triggers, whatever you want to call them, things that are coming up in their life, themes around the way that they feel they're being treated or the things they feel they need that they're not getting off other people, are you giving it to yourself? And if not, how can you start doing that?
It's really beautiful, Caroline, yeah. And I think the same applies in relationships too. You know, we look for other people to, I want someone else to take me out for dinner, or someone else to run me a bath, or someone else to do all this stuff to make me feel good. And we're not doing it to ourselves. So can we start with that? Start dating ourselves, giving ourselves that kind of love. It's easy saying it for us, you know, do I do that? Well, no, like not sometimes if I catch myself, if I remember, but there's, you know, but it's easy to say this stuff, that the important part is implementing it, right? It's implementing, but of course it starts with saying it, because that at least gives us the opportunity. But yeah, I think it's so, as a coach and talking about this journey, it's so beautiful, because it just makes you that a little bit more clear, that a little bit more aware. And then you can, am I implementing this myself? Am I, because it's a constant game. The choices that we're making is a constant game. How are we showing up for ourselves? Constant game. You know, I could choose my ego every day and leave myself feeling empty and uninspired. But I don't, that's not the way that I want to live. I want to choose. I love a quote that says, don't sacrifice what you want most for what you want now. And that's, you know, that's choosing myself and choosing myself and keep playing that game, keep showing up in that way.
And remembering that your soul has a wide lens, whereas our egos are quite limited in their perception. They can only see like 5%. Our soul knows. So often you'll have these moments, flashes of inspiration that come through, but it doesn't feel very convenient or logical, but it leads to the most miraculous things if you listen to it and follow it. Well, listen to it and then you have to do the obvious free will of following it, but that's
important and not always easy, but that's where it's being brave and courageous, right? And choosing ourselves, choosing our deepest values. I feel like we have gone on a bit of a journey there, Caroline. I think it's beautiful.
It's that all day, honestly. It's been fabulous.
So I want to ask one last question, actually, because I think this is a really important one. Because, and of course, like in amongst all of that conversation, that flow that we've just been through, there's a lot of work to do on all of those parts. We've kind of touched on, scratched the surface around all of it, but there's deep work involved in each part of the process. But I guess the question that I feel is so important now is to say, well, why heal? Why heal? Because it's easier for many, it's easier just to go, do you know what? I'm going to keep burying it and I'm going to find my fixes in the parties, in the holidays, in the affairs, in the gambling, and all the other stuff. So why heal? What's the benefit of going through the hard work, through the tears, through the challenges?
To reach the ultimate state of acceptance and joy and liberation, because it's long lasting, because it's a service to humanity. For those people who go and have children, it's service to them. It's breaking old patterns. It's changing your vibration so that you can change the vibration of the world. I mean, it is that big. It sounds over the top, but it's not. It is that true. You know, we're energetic beings. We're part of the same thing, as the same substance of the stars and the sky and everything. And when we commit to raising our vibration to higher frequencies, when we connect back to the light, that has a ripple effect that permeates everything. It's one of the greatest acts that you can do for humanity. So I hope that's a compelling reason to do it. And because you're worth it. You're worth feeling joyful and connected and contented. Like, you are worthy and deserving of doing that. Is your birthright. So it's time to kind of go out and claim that.
Yeah, so beautiful, Caroline. And one word that I'd love to add to that as well is freedom. For me, it's given me so much more freedom inside of myself, freedom to show up as me. It's lighter, and it's so much comes from that space. So beautiful, Caroline. I'm so glad that we got this chance to connect. I feel like there's lots more to discuss, and maybe there'll be other areas that perhaps we reconnect on another time more specifically, but I feel like we've gone on a really beautiful journey there. And this is mental health for me. This is how we heal. This is how we can help ourselves become everything you just said and get more, all of that stuff into our lives. And it's possible for all of us. As you said at the beginning, it sits within us, these answers. We need help and guidance perhaps, but we can all reconnect to our heart, our soul, as you say, and we can find that more freedom. And it's needed right now. Life is not easy for many. And it's needed. So I'm so grateful to sit in the space. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom. I love your message. I love the simplicity and the way you piece it all together and the clarity you bring. So I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much. Is there anything that you'd love to add? Have we missed anything? Any vital parts? Or is there anything you'd like to share in summary?
No, I don't think so. I just hope that, you know, we can inspire others to our embodiment of doing this work, and for people to realise that it doesn't have to be complex, that actually you've got some amazing inner tools within you if you allow yourself to sit with it. Just trust your ability to heal. Trust that, because that's really going to help you commit to this process.
Caroline, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing everything you have done. I've loved sitting in the space with you. I'm really grateful for you. I love reconnecting. Thank you. And I don't know what else. Just thank you. I'm so grateful for you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So there we go. There we have it. I'm so grateful to Caroline. I love, love, love her message. I love sitting in that space. I hope it had an impact on you. I hope it took you on a journey of understanding how to heal yourself and why to heal yourself. I just, these conversations matter so much for me at the moment around Mental Health Month, and I'm just really thrilled and really proud to sit in the space and bring this conversation alive. So thank you for listening. Thank you so much. If this conversation resonated with you, if you feel it can make an impact on anyone you know, please feel free to share. And if you've shared on socials, please tag me. I really would love to thank you. It matters to me. It really touches me when I see people supporting. So please let me know. And just thank you. And if you can like, subscribe or review or rate or whatever it is, the language that's on your podcast, please do so. Your support is much appreciated. We'd love to hear from you with any reviews that you could give us, any support, any tips that you feel that you'd love to hear from us, or any parts of the conversation you'd love us to dive into more. Whatever it is, please share it with us and we'll continue with these conversations. And I hope to bring you more impactful conversations in the next few weeks. So thank you for listening. Really grateful for you, and hope to see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.